Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
God wants to heal people right now this morning. Let's make it personal right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here to heal you this morning. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged or brokenhearted over something. You might think, oh, God doesn't, it's not a big deal. It's not cancer. Well, that's true. But it's pain and it's hurt. And it's not God's best. It is not His will for you. But we are here today to join our faith with yours. When you come down here, if you need prayer for anything, I ask that when you come down, prepare yourself to get an answer from God. So when you come down, come expecting, Lord, I know you're down here. I know when they pray for me, our faith will make us whole. It doesn't matter. Maybe you were at the doctor this week and you have a diagnosis of some kind, but how many know we don't believe the report of man? We don't put our faith and confidence in what a doctor says, although we go to them, but that's not where our faith goes. Our faith stays in the report of the Lord that says you are the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. That's where our faith always stays. We use the knowledge of the world so that when we speak the words out of our mouth and believe them in our heart, and we join our faith with yours, you will be healed in Jesus' name. If it's instantly, if it's a week from now, it doesn't matter. It can be progressive. All you have to do is believe in your heart with us when we pray with you. I'm going to ask our pastoral staff to come down here. If you are here today, as they play, whatever the Lord inspires them to play, come down expecting, no matter how big, how small. You might not think God cares about this little old thing in your life, but He does. He cares about everything in your life. If He knows how many hairs are left on my head, He cares about that little thing in your life. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Move in this house today, Lord. Stir the faith of the people to believe today that they don't have to leave exactly like they came. They can come down here believing in their heart that there's an answer. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the answer today for whatever it is we need. I believe that every one of us can leave this place whole, right with God. It doesn't even matter if you know who God is, because God is that good. If you come down here and say, Lord, if you're there, I need you, He will meet you right down here. And you will be healed and you will know who this God is. You will know for yourself. Come experience God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work that you're doing in the house right now. I can feel you working in the hearts of the people. Thank you, Lord. We join our faith with theirs to come down here to believe, to take a step of faith, to believe they can be whole, that they can be right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the anointing in this place. Anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the virtue that rests in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We trust in you. We speak your very best over your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You are the God that healed us of all of our diseases. You are the God of wholeness. You're our divine provision. You are Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't matter what we need. You backed up in space and time to make sure that our provision is there when we get there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. You are good and nothing but good. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The Lord has promised.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Healing is going on right now in Jesus' name. Healing, wholeness in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. If you're out there in a congregation, draw into his presence. He is here in the house today doing a work among your friends, your family, the people in this area. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. There is none like you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the answer. You're everything we need when we need it. You are above all that we could ask or think. Praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Praise you, Lord, for your mercy on our lives. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's still not too late to come down. If the Spirit moves on you to compels you to come down, come down. Thank you, Jesus. Don't leave like you came in today. You can be healed. You can be whole. You can be delivered. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are bruised for us. You are whipped for us. That you endured all this pain and suffering so that we didn't have to. I thank you, Lord. We believe in your report. We thank you for what you've done. And Lord, we thank you that your power is here, that your ability is here. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just as your word says, we believe in your report. We believe in what the word of God says more than anybody else. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for moving on your people today, Lord. That you're a right now God that cares about us right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stay in an attitude of worship. God is doing something awesome in here.
The power of your word. I want to feel.
Thank you, Lord.
The weight of.
Just take a minute or two and just close your eyes and just focus on God for just a couple minutes. It's real easy. Just close your eyes, just focus on the Lord. He is here in the room. And you could just say little things like, Lord, speak to me. What is the word that I need to hear? What do you have for me today? Use your own words. Listen to what God says. He will speak to you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to your people. Thank you that your spiritual ears are open to hear the words of God. Thank you that the spiritual eyes are open to see the hand of God moving today in this service. What is the Lord saying to you today? Everybody should have a word that's for their life.
Stand with me. Stand with me. Just let that play. Just keep letting that play. That's it. Fill the room. Fill the room. Stand with me. Let's just worship. Let's worship. Father, we worship you. Yes. That's it. Come on. Press in. Press in. Press in. Press in. I'm honest with you when I tell you I don't know where he's going. Just press in. There's no destination that's right or wrong, except his presence is always right. Press into the fullness of God. Press in today. Press into the fullness of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Reach your hands to the heavens and worship your Creator. Worship him. Worship your Creator this morning. Stretch your hands high if that's how you express your worship. reach unto the Creator, because God is wanting to speak so intimately to you, as Pastor Carl said, something so intimately just for you today. I see prison doors opening. I see prison doors by faith. I see individuals coming out of the prisons, the doors swinging wide open and being thrown off their hinges this morning. This morning I see that God is pressing. He is pressing to us to run to Him. He's calling us to press in just a little deeper. Father, we worship You. Father, we worship You. We worship You. Fall, God, fall on me. Tell Him that. Fall on me, God. Don't put qualifications. I don't want to do this, or I'd feel uncomfortable if You had me do this. Take all the qualifications off and just say simply, God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh. Let Your Spirit fall fresh on me. Father, we worship You. We worship You. Do what only You can do. Oh, Jesus. Do what only You can do. Yes. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak into us personally and intimately. We run to You. Lord, we run to You. We run to You. We run to You. We run to You. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Give Him a hand. We worship You. Give Him your very best. Give God your very best. Give God your very best. The Creator is in the house. The Creator is in the house. Get that. The Creator is in the house. We're invited to this meal. We're invited into His presence. Have you ever had an invitation that was so precious to you? Just remain standing for a second. That was so precious to you. Have you ever had an invitation that was so special? I can remember several years ago when we got in the mail. Gina and I got in the mail a couple of weeks after I did the Lou Brock Scholarship. It was an auction here in St. Louis for the Lou Brock Scholarship Fund. He wanted a pastor. And so they selected me, and I went in and I did the live auction up at the hotel by the airport, and the who's who of St. Louis was in there. And not long after that, about 3 weeks later, by the way, that's not supposed to be a name drop. Let me just tell you, everybody knows Lou. And 3 weeks later, Gene and I get an invitation in the mail to come to Lou and Jackie's house for dinner. I framed that invitation. The child, the 10-year-old boy in me, Mike gets it, the 10-year-old boy in me, like, don't bend the corners. Don't bend, you know what I mean? This is Lou, you know, my childhood hero. This is Lou, I framed that invitation. We have a more precious invitation to a dinner. Don't forget to frame it in your heart. I mean, literally, let your heart just encompass that invitation, because it's yet to come. The dinner is yet to come. You were invited to the Master's house. I just got invited to Lou Brock's house. And Lou, if you're watching, I'm sorry. But the Master. I'm invited to the Master's house for dinner. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And I get to hear this as, you know, when Lou greeted me at the door, I'm like, you know the song, I Can Only Imagine? Yes. What will happen when the Master meets me at the door and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. It's all yours. It's all yours. I get blown away by that. Maybe it's just the 10-year-old in me or the ADD in me. I don't know. I said, we're going to get into the Word. Amen. Okay, now I think we got everybody's attention. I want to talk with you this morning about things yet to come. Now, I don't know how you do your household. There are people that, I don't know, sometimes they don't want to tell their pastor, you know, that they watch much TV, so they do this kind of thing. I don't watch much TV. I watch, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's sad. There's some really fun things on TV if you find your niche, you know. And my niche is somewhere between Channel 2 and Channel 800. I just love, there's so much on there that's, I am a little ADD. I'll go from the baseball game to Gilligan's Island. Oh my goodness. I haven't seen this in, and then I get attached to, everybody remember Gilligan's Island, right? What was the name of the ship?
The Minnow.
And that's, it was a 3-hour tour, right. So, I mean, but I am that way. What's next? And by the way, some of you are that way too. You know, gotta get back there. Thank God for the previous channel button. Cause then I can come back to the Cardinal game or whatever it is that I'm watching. Gina and I love they're not sitcom, but they're like The Last Ship. Don't tell me I'm the only one in the room that knows what The Last Ship is. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Quality TV, you know? What was the one we're watching these days? It's The Spies. Turn. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, see, some people really love quality TV. And the best one that always made me go, oh, that's all this week? Was 24. 24. Jack, if he would just learn to speak normal instead of whisper everything. It's like turn the volume up. I got it at 48. And Jack, I still can't hear Jack, but everybody else is blaring. Every week I would anticipate what's next? And then they show some episodes. You know, God is the best at what's next episodes. He is. He actually tells us what's next. Now, did you transition with me from sitcom TV to? Okay, I just want to make sure. It's not easy sometimes. Gina knows that. Living with me is not easy to. Did you just change thoughts? Yes, I did. So join me. But there is something about God and his, hey, you ought to see what's to come. Here, I'll show you a glimpse of it. In fact, he did that with the prophets. You remember? He did that with the prophets. Sometimes he would show the prophet something that happened. I'm talking about Old Testament prophets. So he would show them the time of Messiah. And then in the same sentence, the prophet described something that's going to happen 2,000 years later. And really the way to understand that is because it's not the same event, but he's actually describing two events yet to come. And it's kind of like, have you ever been out to the Rocky Mountains? Or any big set of mountains, you know, these majestic mountains. If you look at the tops of those mountains, it's like, whoa, there's one. Those mountains may be 200 miles apart from each other. Those mountain tips may be 200 miles from each other. It's like looking at the sun and Saturn. Well, they're really close. No, they're not. They just look really close from our vantage point because God's allowed us to see some things that are close. Well, the prophets were used to seeing that. And sometimes I think we get caught up with wanting to know the details of everything that is yet to come. Boy, I'll tell you, I wish God would show me. He'll show you in the right time. But I want to take you quickly to a scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. And actually, I'm going to start in verse 14, Teresa. And I know you already got 3:20 up there. But I'm going to actually start reading in verse 14, and I'll carry it all the way through to 20. Okay, so it says, and this is Paul. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And how many know that when Paul writes letters, it was usually in response to a problem or a situation that was brewing in a church, or he was dealing with situations, or they didn't know how to teach or what to teach on any particular subject, like the church at Thessalonica. They wanted to know what's going to happen with all these dead people in chapter 4. What's going to happen with the dead Christians? Because they're not alive anymore. When he returns, will they miss the return? And so Paul was doctrinally bringing people up to speed, or sometimes correcting or admonishing or rebuking through his letters. And this is at the church in Ephesus. And he says, now I'm not going to give you too much prior to this, but he says, for this reason I kneel. Now what he's talking about, if you check out just a little bit before that, what he's talking about is for this reason, that he was called to the Gentiles. Paul was set aside to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And he calls that the mysteries of God. That's what he actually called it. The mysteries of God, that Gentiles could actually be saved along with a Jew. because salvation came from the Jews. And so the mystery of God that he's referring to and the passion that he's speaking from is the simple fact that y'all are on this ride with us at Ephesus by invitation. Remember the invitation? By invitation, you got this invitation to come along and be saved according to the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and is on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power. I'm talking about something that's supposed to come in our lives as believers. The yet to come. I'm not talking about necessarily a time yet. I'm actually talking about a relationship. Now I want to switch you from time mentality to an event mentality to a relationship mentality yet to come. Because it's a journey. You and I are both on, we're all on journeys of relationship with each other and with God. And he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. And he goes on to say in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Are you getting where Paul's going here? He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Now let me tell you, being rooted is one thing. Being rooted is you literally have roots that you draw from the source itself of love. And those roots go down deep and they are mature. And so you get the picture that the source that I get it from is what I'm rooted in. I am rooted in love. Established, he goes on to say in the next sentence, and established in love. Can I tell you what that is? That's our reputation. Everything about you is established in the eyes of people that you operate rooted. You're rooted, but that you're established. It's become a lifestyle. It's how people view you. It is their perception of you. Now, by the way, I know there are people that get mad at their parents. I know that we all got angry at our parents at some time or another, and yet they were making decisions because they loved us most. Okay, so I'm not talking about everybody likes you. Everybody get that? Okay. He says that you be being rooted and established. In other words, let's call it a reputation in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. That's how deeply rooted we are in it. And that's his desire for us, that we are that deeply rooted and established that we can begin to, and that we'll never fully get it, but not in this world, but we will in that world. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, everybody say filled. That you may be filled to the full measure, let me say it again, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And I want you, if you're a writer of notes, I want you to write next to that statement, not my measure. Y'all get where I'm going? It's not according to when I'm satisfied. It's not a measure, because sometimes when we're trying to press in and all of a sudden we become content, and as though our measuring stick is all that God wants to do in us. And yet the truth is, that's when we're just really starting to get dipped into what God is actually trying to show us, the fullness of his love. Everybody say fullness. You see, we determine, I did this morning when I ate breakfast, that's all I need. Because I'm 8 pounds up. That's the truth. I mean, this morning I said, I'm going to cut that bowl in half. Whatever that thing is, I'm cutting it in half. It's my measuring stick because, and by the way, I wasn't satisfied. But this is what he's talking about, the fullness of God. That you may be rooted and established and in love, that you may be filled... Also, filled to the measure of the fullness of God, not my measuring stick. And now he says, goes on in verse 20 to say, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Wait a minute. What is the glory in the church? It's what he just said. It's the fullness, it's the full measure of God being lived out in you. That's the glory of God in the church. It's not about doing religious things. It's not about being at church 4 Sundays out of 4 or 5 out of 5, even though he does say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God's not legalistic about it. What he's saying is that what Paul is writing and what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write is that the work that's being done within each of us individually and as a corporate body, that's the glory of God. And when we're not pressing in to the full measure, we come up so shy of the glory that God wants in us as a church. Y'all with me? See, y'all thought I was going to talk about dates and times and things yet to come. Maybe ministries. Maybe, you know, things that we'd like to see. Let me tell you what's going to happen. When we start pressing in, let's just get down to the real here. When we as a body start pressing in to the presence of God, to the fullness of God, to the full measure according to what God wants us to have, we're not going to have to worry about great ministries being raised up. God will send those great ministries. When we start pressing in and saying to God, that ain't enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. I want more. He says to ask largely that our joys may be made full. Let's press in. Let's press in into the presence, the full measure of God. I love that whole thing. I love where Luke tells us that if we give, it shall be given unto us in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, when we start investing ourselves, the Bible says where our treasures are, there our heart is also. And I've said this to you probably 25 times in 17 years. How many of you checked your McDonald's stock this morning? I'm talking about your stocks and bonds. How many checked the Wall Street Journal for your McDonald's stock? Probably no one. Because why? Because you have nothing invested there. You have no dog in the race. I wonder how many of you this week pressed into the presence of God. I mean, how many of us total pressed into the presence of God and said, Lord, it matters what you do at St. Charles River Church this week. It matters what you do. Because you see, I've got a dog in the race. My family's there. I am there. It matters to me, God, that you pour your spirit. It matters to me that you reveal yourself to me in the full measure that you want for me. I promise you, he will not give you too much. No more, God. No more. And I've heard people laughing so hard they couldn't see straight, saying, I can't take it anymore because the spirit was so tickled. I mean, the spirit was just, do you ever have God tickle you? I have laughed physically until I cried because I was so tickled. Somebody sent me a video that I should never have watched this week because I can't get it out of my mind. I'm driving along and it just absolutely still gets me to the point I am crying driving, not watching the video, by the way. You're welcome. You're welcome. But God wants us to press into the point. I'm going to tell you, when my granddaughter, she's, you know, how old is she? A year and a half? She's about a year and a half. We're starting to really get close. We're starting to bond. And when I come near her and I do that, I'm going to get you. She pulls up and starts giggling. I haven't even touched her yet. It's the anticipation of what my grandfather's going to do with me. And I've watched Darrell, her daddy, do that too. I'm going to get you. And she just pulls those legs up because she gets tickled and nobody's touched her. Wouldn't it be so amazing to have such an intimacy with our Father in heaven that when he starts to, I'm going to get you. Can't you picture that? Where do you think we get that from? Do you think we're that good as fathers that I'm going to get you. We aren't that good. He said, let us make man in our image. And all the package came. It's not just a physical thing. God's created us in his image. Let me tickle you just a little bit. Let me play with you a little bit. Let me put my arms around you. You are my babies. And I'm telling you to this day, when I go hug my girls, Kristen's sitting over here, when I go hug them, I'm going to tell you something. There's something that just takes place. There's a trust that takes place. There's a moment where everything is all right when my girls get to hug daddy. There's a moment when everything is made secure. When I've come back from a mission trip after 7 days being gone and my girls put their arms around me, everything is made well because I got my daddy. Do you know that's our Heavenly Father? And the things yet to come in your life have nothing to do with dates and times and jobs. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I already know how that works out. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I had to go there, Pam. I'm sorry. Plans to give you hope and a future. And he says, wait a minute. Listen to the next verse. Verse 12. That's Jeremiah 29, 11. Verse 12 says, and you will seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. It's an all-in investment. Yes. And when we all-in invest, God, let me spend some time in your presence this week. I want to call on you for what you're going to do in me and how you're going to do it in me and how you're going to do it and who you're going to do it through at St. Charles River Church. Have you prayed for your church lately? Have you prayed for revival in the hearts of men and women? Have we lifted each other up and called on God for the pastoral staff to make right decisions? Have we pressed in to the full measure of the presence of God? I promise you, he won't say no. He won't say no. He's the daddy that's going, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And he did. It was called the cross. He's saying that to all mankind. You remember that rooted in love? I know the cross is one of the most tragic yet historic stories. That's so tragic that Christ would have to die for my sin, but it's so heroic. He is my king and he is my God. He showed up when I needed him to most. But there is something intimate about what God wants to do in us as a father and as a child. And he really, seriously, I don't know, I don't know how far eternity past God had that all planned out, but I do know this, that somewhere along the way, he determined, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You are going to be mine and the enemy cannot take you from me. I'm going to get you. And it just makes hell mad, by the way. It does. It just makes hell mad. Why don't you go ahead and make hell mad and run to him to the full measure of Christ? Say, God, well, show me what the full measure is. Woo, you just wait. If you really mean that, it's not about, putting on the right music for the mood. You get that? It's not about mood setting. I got to light a candle here. No. And put the right song on, a little hill song, whatever your style of worship is. No, it's so not that. It's not conjuring up a moment. I know a guy, I'm going to tell you, a guy named Randy. I won't give you his last name, but I could. A guy named Randy. Some of you knew him from First Assembly of God years ago when we were there for 18 years. And there was a guy named Randy. His wife received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. Just happened, she was just pressing in, and that was something that was just so incredible for her because she really didn't want it. I mean, she wouldn't know to actually say those words, I don't want it, but she's like, that stuff spooks me. And so Randy was more against it than, do you remember? Randy was more against it than she really was, but he was jealous now that Vicky had what he didn't have. You know who I'm talking about? That Randy was now jealous because she had something that God had to give and I don't have that. By the way, that has nothing to do with first-class Christianity or second-class. Power of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is within you. And we're not talking about that. You understand that, right? Okay. You're saved. You got the Holy Spirit within you. Here, but Randy is wanting so badly because she's different now. You know who I'm talking about. She's different now. All of a sudden, Randy goes home. Randy, nobody's home. Randy goes home and he shuts out, all the noise in the house. He goes into his bedroom, he turns the stereo on, gets just the right, I think it was the Archers. Do y'all remember the Archers gospel group from years ago? So he puts on this group, he starts playing Christian, you remember, I know you remember, they were Baptists, I thought. So anyway, I thought they were, I'm pretty sure that was their roots. But that was Pastor Mike's roots. So he puts music on and he kind of sets the mood and I want it, Lord. And he's trying to create the event. And he said, I'm going to tell you this because he even found humor in it now. He said, I fell backwards three times on the bed because I didn't want to hurt myself. just in case. And Randy would tell you, in the immaturity of his walk at the time, he was trying to go get something. He was trying to yank it out of heaven, you know? Okay, please don't think I'm being disrespectful here. But he was trying to do ikala mashandai, you know, but trying to do one of those things and see if he can force a moment. Can I tell you something? If you really press into God, you don't have to set the scene. You don't have to set the mood. You don't have to have the right music on. All we have to have is the right heart to pursue God in the full measure of Christ. And I don't have a clue totally what that is. How about you? But if you'll join us on the journey of discovery, everybody thinks it's got to be about one event. Man, I got down to that, you know, at the front of the platform, or I got down at that altar, and I just poured, and I have seen miraculous transition that way, by the way, from great sinner, I mean master's degree or doctorate in sinning, to a great intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I've seen those types of translations at that point. But I'm going to tell you, seriously, get up and you think you'll never sin again? I've actually heard Christians say through the years, well, if he really got saved, he wouldn't have been doing that. Well, why are you doing that? It's called judging. Judge not, lest you be judged. In the same manner in which you judge, you will be judged. In other words, if you're not very compassionate for people, when judgment day comes for that individual will have less compassion shown towards them. And by the way, you don't even have to wait that long. If you tend to be a mean, judgmental person, everybody else is going to pretty much be mean to you and judgmental too. Because you've already offended half the world around you. Am I right? If we live a lifestyle of offense, that's why it says rooted and established in love. It's established that we are Christians and that love is the evidence. Love is it's established in our reputation. It's the anchor thing. Yeah, I want to be around her. Because Vanessa loves Christ. There's something different about her. She loves God. I don't know totally what that is. I don't know what that means, but I know she does pray. Have you ever had that happen? Where somebody just walks up and your reputation was that you were kind, you were compassionate. They might not have known that you were a Christian, but they knew that you were a kind person and that you do pray. And they'll walk up, and I've had this happen so many times. Look, I'm not religious, but I know you pray. So would you put a good word in for me? You've heard that, right? That's because your reputation is established in compassion. Get a clarity to that. It's one thing to be rooted, but then hide it. Hide it. Remember the old song? Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine, because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Some of you going back to kids' church here, aren't you? Let me just tell you, God has a measure that is not your measuring stick. God has an intimate relationship with you. Oh, he's already got the jobs situations. He's got the finance situations already worked through. That's what I said in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have declared for you. And I'm going to close with this. He's already got that all figured out. When we built this building in 2003, I'm going to tell you something. I've never built a building in my life. I had never seen your pastor to church in my life. That ought to scare you to death. I'm a hairstylist by trade. That ought to really scare you to death. But I'm going to tell you, I know what God called me to do. But I surrounded myself with people that knew how to build a building. I actually surrounded myself by people who knew how to do. You get that? And so they bring in this set of blueprints to me, these plans, and I'm looking at these plans, and I think there was like 65 pages. I mean, it's Greek to me. Now, if you speak Greek, I'm impressed. But it was so, I had no clue. I would look at Eli, Pastor Eli Acero, who was here through all those years, and he did all the electrical design. I said, Pastor Eli, do you know what this says? Well, yeah. I said, good. Good. Because as long as you know what the plans say, I don't have to have the details, but it's good, right? I mean, all the electric comes on when we flip the switches, right? Yes. Everything works just right. The microphones, the music, the projectors all work right when we flip the switch, right? He said, yes. I said, good. That's all I need to know. And I would look at the steel guys, you know, and I would say, you know, Steve Cook was involved in a lot of, by the way, we have a tornado wall here, just so you know, because we doubled the steel, not on purpose, it was because I didn't know how to read a blueprint, but we doubled the steel around all the children's ministry right here. And it literally, the architect said to me, by the way, you have the safest building in Weldon Spring for a tornado. Just put everybody in the nurseries and in the women and men's restrooms. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, you doubled the steel. I said, well, that was about a $50,000 mistake on my part because I didn't know how to read a plan. Everybody get the idea here? I should have left that decision to the person who knew what steel was supposed to do. You see, the person with the plan, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. The man, the architect, the blueprint can read it all because he wrote it all. Amen. He knows exactly what everything means. It's not confusing to him. What I want to know is, will I hear these words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I also want to know, will my family hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to know. Bottom line, when I flip the switch and I leave this world, whether it's rapture or death, I don't care. I honestly don't care. Our second coming, I don't care. Whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants, when he flips the switch and I am in his presence, will my family be there? Aren't we a bottom line kind of people? Aren't we a bottom line kind of people? It's about whatever he wants to do to get us there. Bow your heads with me. Father, the measure of the fullness of God. Begin to reveal that in us, Lord God. We want to be about pursuing the full measure of God. That is at work within us with the power of God to transform us from who we are today to who you have designed us to be tomorrow. Never let us, God, never let us be satisfied with where we're at, but always pressing in, Lord, more for the fullness of God, more for the power of God, and not power so that we can impress, but power so that we can love with impact at a higher level than ever before. Love so that impact actually will transform other individuals' lives because they want to be something that they see that flows through me from you. They want that. Lord, you're the architect of our faith. You're the beginning and you are the end. You're the Alpha and Omega. Teach us to run to the one of the design, the one who has designed it all for the things yet to come, our intimate relationship with you, as well as the dates, the events, the jobs, the people we cross. All of that is yet to come because we have a future in you. In Jesus' name. Every believer said, amen. God bless you guys. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.